Summer, the best time of year, usually doesn't come with a great deal. Soaring temperatures come with soaring prices. But what if there's another way? With IKEA, your summer plans can last longer than 2 weeks of vacation and be more affordable. Here, everyone can have lounge chair access, no reservations needed. From affordable outdoor furniture to stylish accessories, we have all the essentials you need to soak up summer in style, no matter the size of your space. Start planning a better summer with IKEA. It's your outdoor dreams inside your budget.
If scary movies give you dread, keep you up late night in bed, here's a podcast that will help you ease your mind. We'll explain the plot real nicely, then we'll talk about what's frightening so you never have to have a spooky time. It's Ruined.
Hey everybody, welcome back to Ruined. I'm Hallie.
And I'm Allison.
And
we're here.
We're here. It's all happening.
It's all still happening.
We're still here.
Somehow, we're all still here.
That's the best we could say about the last 8-9 months and potentially the next 9 months. Well, we're still here.
Well, we're still here. For better or worse, it's happening.
And if nothing else, we have for you another horror movie, which we're going to ruin. Of course,
yes. The
premise of this podcast, which if it's your first time, thanks for joining us. My name is Hallie, and I love horror movies, and I want to compulsively talk about them, which is great.
Because I hate horror movies, and I never, ever, ever want to watch them, but I am deeply curious about the ins and outs and the twists, so I enlist Hallie to tell me those things so I don't have to have nightmares, or as many nightmares. I still have nightmares.
Yeah, and we got a good one. This is a nightmare-inducing one for sure. This is an iconic film in the scary kid subgenre of horror.
Yes.
Which, Allison, I know is perhaps your, maybe not your least favorite, but something that you were extremely terrified of.
Yeah, this is I'd say it's a top three scariest genre of horror to me.
Evil Child. What are the other two? Scary old person? I know you didn't like that when we did The
Visit.
Scary
old person and then scary adults.
Yeah, those are good. Those are the top three.
Teens. We got to put teens in there.
Oh, boy. Yeah, they don't count. They're not adults. They're not kids. They're not old. What are they?
They are only teens, and they are only scary.
And the movie we're doing this week, there's a scary 5-year-old. And let me tell you, by the time he gets to be a teen, he's going to be a real hellion, literally. Because we are doing this week the one and only The Omen.
The Omen.
From 1976, the original. We won't be doing the Julia Stiles remake, which I was reminded by our producer, Sabrina, that came out. And I've seen it, and I couldn't tell you one thing about it.
Oh, wow.
Didn't retain any of it at all.
I've heard about this movie in pop culture. So for me, this is like a big one to like understand some references. Mm-hmm. I mean, like anything that gets referenced in Seinfeld, I do need to know about. And this is referenced in a Seinfeld episode. So
now, do you remember which episode it is?
I can't remember which episode it is, but it's a discussion at the coffee shop, and it's just at least Elaine and Kramer and George, maybe Jerry's there too, and Elaine's just like, was he evil? Like, they're just trying to have a discussion of, like, what the deal was with Damien, and then Kramer's like, I think he's just like a mixed-up child.
Wow, and he is mixed up. We always like to have Allison watch the trailer for the film to sort of get both, ready, and also just, like, who are our main characters, what's the tone, sort of the visual appeal. Allison, what did you think of the Omen trailer?
I mean, it's a scary trailer. This is back when, like, trailers also really didn't tell you. I mean, I love these old trailers where it's, like, you're getting flashes of what's happening, but you're not getting kind of, like, what we get today, which is, like, the whole movie.
Like, right, yeah.
It's just, like, a lot of, like, flashes of, like, this child and then like terrible things. So it was, I would say it was very scary as a trailer.
And we always like to take a baseline scary with Allison. And so Allison, how scared do you feel of the concept of the Antichrist?
Definitely scared. I mean, the fact that I am not a religious person, it's a little less scary.
Right. Yeah. I mean, like being raised Jewish, you probably had less discussion of the Antichrist than
people. Am I the Antichrist? Like,
right. I mean, based on this film, absolutely not.
No. Yeah. Yeah. If this is what the Antichrist is, then I am not it, nor do I think it's real. But it is a scary, I mean, again, like once like religion and especially Christianity is like in something, like there is like, you know, it's not something I grew up with, but it is something I like studied a bit in college in literature. And like, there's something so intensely dramatic about all of Christianity.
It's
so dramatic. And so like, of course there's movies.
Yeah, I feel like it's much like when we watch The Exorcist, there is something being raised Catholic, which, again, I don't believe in that this is something that could conceivably happen, but it does prey on a lot of fears that you're taught about, say, is there a Satan? Is he going to show up and make you do naughty stuff? What if he had a son and he came to the world and hung out with us? What would happen? It wouldn't be good.
No.
So, and I think that's the perfect setting for a horror movie is it takes some little element of something that we're already afraid of or that's already in the ether and then sort of yes-ands it.
Yes.
In an improv fashion into a film.
Yeah, and there's nothing scarier than improv.
Exactly. So. Well, get ready because you're going to have to improvise what to do when you're dealing with the son of Satan. So let us begin. This week we're going to ruin for you The Omen. Oh my God, I almost forgot. Allison, do you think there is a twist? And if so, would you like to guess it now?
Guess the twist.
I think the twist is going to have to be like how Damien came to be. And at least from the narrative the trailer tells, like we don't know for a long time, like, there's like, it's like, that's his mother. And it's like, no, his mother is someone else. So I think like we'll get a twist that's less of a twist and more of like an answer to this question of like, what is wrong with Damien?
You're getting very good at guessing this, Allison.
I am getting pretty good at guessing, I will say.
So let us begin and let us ruin The Omen. We open on June 6th at 6 a.m.
No, that's already.
Already 666.
Mm-mm.
It's bad news.
Mm-mm.
Robert Thorne, played by Gregory Peck, is rushing to the hospital. His wife, Catherine, has just given birth to their son. This is like a much wanted and much anticipated birth. It took her a really long time to get pregnant. We're sort of, you know, she was dealing with some other stuff. And so this is like the most exciting moment of their life. Robert is a diplomat an American diplomat living with Catherine in Rome. And he's also the head of the Thorne family.
Italy is spooky.
Yes, exactly. Living in America where everything's either a Panera Bread or an Applebee's, like, you just don't get the effect of, like, you're driving, you're in a car headed to the hospital, and there's just these, like, gorgeous, like, ancient fountains and piazzas. It's gorgeous.
Yeah, old stuff in America is still, like, not that. I mean, it's scary because it's imbued with, like, our genocidal history and, like...
Oh, yeah, that stuff. Yeah, that. It's all, like...
But it's not... That's, like, more upsetting and depressing. But, like, there's something very almost paranormal about Italy and, like, Rome specifically.
Yeah, it harkens back to, like, oh, well... And I guess maybe that's also, like, why set a film in Italy with these old cities is that it brings you back to like, well, perhaps there's something ancient being conjured into the modern world that we're now going to have to face. And so Robert is also he's like the heir of the Thorne family fortune. So I guess we're to think like he's like from this millionaire family, which explains why he has this cushy job as a diplomat living in Rome with his gorgeous wife and they're having their baby and they're so excited. They get there and Father Spoleto, who is the chaplain of the hospital, informs him that their son has died. And Robert is obviously devastated, and he's also even more devastated with the idea that he has to tell Catherine that this has happened.
Yeah.
And so Father Spoleto says, well, I'm just going to put this out here. We got this other baby. We'll just switch him in. Catherine doesn't even have to know.
What?
The priest says to him, oh, well, at first he's like, oh, it's a regular adoption. And then he's like, we don't even have to sign any papers. We got this loose baby.
Yeah, they're like, we don't want a paper trail for this evil child.
Which does sound like something the Catholic Church might do. Yeah. You know, I mean, we're working on it. But guys, you know, we've done crazier things in the past. And so Robert's like, I don't know. But he goes to see the baby. And the baby is so cute and perfect. It has like this full head of hair. And a nun brings it to him. And he's like, I just don't think I can do this to Catherine. You know, like I can't. And the priest really puts a strong arm, and he's like, either way, God has brought you a son. Like, this tragedy happened, but God has brought this baby that you could adopt right now. And again, don't tell your wife about it. And you know what happens, Allison? This is the fatal mistake of the movie. What does he do?
He takes the baby.
He takes the baby.
That's also, like, we know it, like, babies all look the same. Like, brand newborns. When they're
the size of a shoe.
We're both holding up like 2 inches between our fingers. We're like, you know, when they're this big.
Isn't that how
like a little baby.
A walnut,
But like all, you know, brand newborns like look so similar.
Right.
You don't, like, this kid could grow up to look nothing like either of you. And there's just such, it'll be so obvious. Like, you just can't, like, predict.
Yeah, completely. I will say, I was listening to, I think it was This American Life, and it was about a man who, growing up, was like, I feel like I'm biracial, but nobody's talking to me about it. And then as an adult, he sort of confronted his mother. And it turns out that she had, you know, had an affair, actually gotten pregnant. And it actually ended up like really like he met his biological father and they have a good relationship and he still has a good relationship with his mother and father that raised him. But he was like, did no one think, like, did honestly, did people think that it was just never going to come up? And I think from the 1970s back through, I'm going to say the beginning of time, I think a lot of times things like this did happen and the human reaction until, you know, the invention of psychotherapy was, we're just never going to talk about it.
Yeah, that does seem extremely likely. Like, while this is a crazy story, like, if there was a news article about this from this era, I'd be like, yeah.
Exactly.
I believe it. It's crazy, but I believe it.
So, and you know, you are sympathetic to him because, like, he's obviously devastated. He knows Catherine's going to be devastated. And this priest is really, like, he's manipulating him into taking this kid.
Right.
But they take the kid home and, you know, Catherine's over the moon and the baby is very cute. And a little while later, they get he gets transferred. He gets a job as an ambassador in Great Britain. And they're very excited because Catherine and he sort of had this plan that he's going to eventually be the president of the United States. And it's sort of kind of joking, but it's like, he's a millionaire. He's good looking. He's rising through the ranks of government.
Yeah.
It doesn't seem outside of the realm of possibility that he could run and potentially win, you know, sometime in the future.
Sure.
But in the meantime, they move to Great Britain and they live in this insane manor house. Like it's just them, their son, whose name is Damien, their nanny, and then they have like a staff, like a housekeeper and a cook and all these people. But it is like, I don't know. It's like how I don't know kid ages. I don't know rooms, like how big a house is.
This you don't know like, room. I guess that's like us living in apartments too. I'm like, well, there's bathroom, bedroom, and kitchen. So if it's not one of those, I have no idea what it's for.
So imagine that this building's like 10 apartments or 20. I don't know, but it's gigantic. It has like these beautiful grounds. You have these like cute scenes of them like walking with Damien, who's like the cutest little chubby toddler. And they're sort of, again, setting up like they're just like this bucolic life and Robert's career's going well, and Catherine doesn't have a career, but she's got a son, so that's like the same thing.
It was the 70s, you know.
It was the 70s,
baby. Of course she doesn't.
unfortunately, we then arrive at Damien's 5th birthday, and they go all out. Like, they get a carousel, they have clowns, they get, like, a train that, like, kids can ride around, they've got face painting. And so they also have invited all of these diplomats and ambassadors and their kids. So it's, like, all these, like, rich people and government people in the United Kingdom. So there's a photographer there taking pictures for the paper, and his name is Keith Jennings, and he will come into play later. But so it's a big enough, he's a big enough deal that his son's 5th birthday is being photographed for the paper.
Wow.
Which is, yeah, that's the Estula we're talking about.
Are there like zoo animals there, or is that late? Like, I saw in the trailer. Oh.
That's later. There are horses. And that is something that is going to come up, is that depending on the animal, they either really like Damien or they do not like him at all.
Interesting.
So at least at this 5th birthday, one of the things they notice is the nanny notices a big Rottweiler sort of on the outskirts of the property. And at a certain point, the nanny sees the Rottweiler and looks to be hypnotized. And then she sort of disappears for a little bit.
Oh.
And everyone's playing and having fun. And Damien's with his mother. And all of a sudden, they all hear the nanny calling. And this is a very iconic, like, movie line. She's like, Damien, it's all for you, Damien.
Yes.
And everyone, so it's like dozens of kids and their parents. Like, it's awful. Turn, they look. And the nanny, with a big smile on her face, has a noose around her neck and is standing on the outside ledge of, like, the third story balcony. And she says, Damien, I love you. It's all for you. She jumps off the ledge, hangs herself, and then the force of her dropping swings into the window of the house, shattering it. So, of course, the house keys are there and goes insane and screaming. Yeah. All the kids are screaming. It's horrible. It's so upsetting. The adults run to the house to try to, like, get her down. It's incredibly traumatic. And we don't know how what happened. But we do see Damien, again, who is a child, look at the Rottweiler and sort of, like, give it a wave. And the Rottweiler scampers off into the woods.
What?
So as you can imagine, Catherine and Robert are extremely upset by this. Like, they don't know what happened. And next day, Robert's going into work, and he's being hounded by reporters. It's like, was your nanny taking drugs? Do you know she was taking drugs? Like, why would she do that? You know, like, did she know she had mental problems? Which, like, obviously he didn't know that. Like, it's not his fault. Like, in their world, if this is, like, a horrible tragedy, like, I don't know how you could blame this guy, you know?
Yeah.
And so they run in, and he runs into the photographer who was at the party, Keith Jennings, and he knocks the his camera to the ground. And
intentionally, like slaps it out of his
just sort of runs into him, like trying to get through the paparazzi.
It just, like, happens.
Yeah, and he even apologizes. He's like, I'm sorry, like, I will pay for that. That's my fault. And Keith Jennings said, that's all right, Mr. Ambassador. Let's just say you owe me.
Also, it must be nice to be so rich that when you make mistakes like that, you're like, oh, I got it. Don't worry about it. Like,
also, like, this is the 70s. Like, a professional photographer's camera, that could not have been cheap. Like, there is no
it's hundreds or thousands of dollars.
Right. Like, it would bankrupt a normal person. But him, he's like, oh, don't worry about it. Like, my office will fix it.
I know. I'm, like, nervous when I go to someone's home. I'm like, don't touch anything. You can't afford to buy a new thing for this person.
I feel that if I'm in a person's home and it's nice, if they have a white rug, if they have any kind of art balanced on anything, I'm terrified.
I'm like, let me just stand in your entryway and you can yell to me from another room.
My boots got mud on them, so I'm just going to stand outside. So as soon as Robert gets into his office, a priest named Father Brennan arrives. And Robert, thinking, oh, this is just like, he's just asking for, like, donations, or it's part of, like, some church thing, have him come in. Father Brennan comes in. He is already sweaty and red-eyed and panicky.
No.
And he walks in. He's like, you must accept Christ, and you must eat his body and drink his blood, because only through Christ can you fight him. And Robert's like, okay, you got to slow down. No. You got to calm down here.
Nope.
And he's like, oh, you know, he'll kill again. He killed once, he'll kill again. And he's not, that's, again, another thing we've talked about in horror movies. You got to use your words.
Yeah.
You got to, maybe if you have to, write it out beforehand.
Yeah.
And go in there with speech.
So is he saying he and no one knows who he is?
Exactly.
Like, I feel like we know, because, like, we're talking about this movie. And so, of course, we're talking about Damien. But, like,
right,
is he, like,
not giving
he'll
Robert
kill
any...
again. And they're like, is there a murderer out there?
Yeah, exactly.
Like,
Robert has no information. He has not used Damien's name. He's not said your son, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
And also at this point, he's called a security guard. So he's just kind of waiting for a security guard to come get Father Brennan out. And so finally, Father Brennan said,
I saw its mother.
I saw my wife.
I saw its mother.
You're referring to my wife.
Its mother, Mr. Thorne.
This is blackmail, then come out and say it. What is it that you're trying to say?
His mother was a...
He says its mother was a jackal. Right, but again, Robert, he's like, okay, this man, I just dealt with my nanny. Maybe she was mentally ill. This man comes in and he's having some sort of mental health crisis. He's not thinking, oh, this is information I need to retain. He's like, okay, something's happening.
Yeah.
And so Father Brennan's kind of hauled out of the building. And as he leaves, Keith Jennings, the photographer, snaps a pic of the priest, too. Because I think he saw him go up to the Robert's office. And he's like, what's going on with this priest, you know?
Right. What is happening here?
Yeah. So he takes a photo. When he develops the photo, there's like a dark slash and going at a diagonal sort of in the image headed towards Father Brennan. But Keith's thinking, oh, God, I know my camera really is broken. Like, it must be, like, the actual lens is damaged or something. He's, again, he's trying to give a logical response to things that will become less and less logical as this movie goes
on. Yeah, we're already, like, referencing a jackal mother. So I think we've left the realm of reality, and we're now in something totally different.
Back at home, a new governess arrives named Mrs. Baylock.
Okay.
And Robert and Catherine's dealings with her are just like, they did not do their due diligence. Mrs. Baylock shows up and she says, oh, hi, the agency sent me.
What's a governess?
A governess, I think, is a nanny, but what's the difference? Mm. I don't know.
Is it just British? Like, is that?
Yes.
Like, it's
I don't know.
Nanny plus managing the manor?
Well, we know they have like a housekeeper.
A
they have other staff. So I think it's just, so maybe it's like a nanny, but you're also like the teacher.
Sure.
Maybe it's like childhood education. Yeah. Anywho, she shows up and hands him up some papers, says, great, so I'm going to be the new nanny, and goes and is like, I'm going to meet with Damien alone for a little while. Mm-mm. And Catherine has this like, well, I don't know if that sounds good. And Robert said, no, go ahead. A good girl. And then eventually, finally, they go in and talk to her. They're like, you know, we didn't call the agency for a new governess. And she's like, oh, well, I think they read in the paper that your nanny died. So then they just sent me, which it doesn't seem like that would make any
sense.
That's
absolutely not how any business at any point in history has ever functioned. Wait, so the wife still does not know that this is not her natural child.
Not at all. No, she does not. Only Robert knows.
Oh, my God.
But Robert also, and to be fair, like, he's awful. Like little and has like, he has brown hair like Robert does. So eventually he might grow up to be, you know, 8 feet tall with red hair, and they're going to have to deal with that. But
like for now, it's like, this is just the child that like, oh my God, how did you like live keeping that secret?
I think that in the past, I think people just kept this kind of secret. I could be wrong, but
Does he not drink? Like that's always like whenever there's like a movie or a TV show where somebody keeps an intense secret, I'm like, oh, you must never drink. Because like the second I drink, I'm like, I'm going to tell you everything I know.
You know, I don't think we see him drink, actually. So maybe that's it.
Maybe that's it. Okay.
You're right. He can never drink again or else he's going to spill the beans.
And be like, that's not our kid.
There's so many moments where that it would be revealed, even in a normal situation. And this is not a normal situation.
Right, of course.
Anywho, Catherine and Robert essentially accept that Mrs. Baylock is going to be the new governess.
Sure.
And she goes in it alone to talk to their 5-year-old. Mm-mm. And she says to Damien, have no fear, little one. Mm-mm. I'm here to protect thee. Mm-mm. You hate to see it.
Mm-mm. Mm-mm. I don't like that at all.
A little time later, they're going to an Episcopal wedding at a church, and Catherine tells Mrs. Baylock, like, please get Damien ready. We're going to leave in 5 minutes. And Mrs. Baylock's like, I don't think he should go to church. I don't think he's old enough to understand it. Church is very boring. And Catherine is like, I do not pay you to tell me to take my kid not to go to church. Like, what are you talking about? We're going. Yeah. We're going to a church. However, when they go and arrive at the wedding, Damien starts screaming and clawing his mother's face and hair and refuses to go inside.
Is that in the car?
Yes, in the car.
In the trailer.
So it's not like a normal tantrum. Like, he's screaming and writhing and it's awful. And I feel like this is the first seed of when Robert's like, I wonder if that priest was trying to tell me something. And I should have maybe listened to him. But again, he's not ready yet. Both of them are disturbed by this incident, but they're not necessarily, like, you know, I think Robert's more thinking, like, who is his parents? Not, are his parents even human, you know?
Right, yeah. I mean, that wouldn't be your first assumption. If you were, like, you'd be like, oh, is there a history of violence in that family? And not, what kind of jackal spawned this nightmare child?
Exactly. Another hijink that Mrs. Baylock gets up to is that they come home and the Rottweiler that was in the yard is just in the house. And Mrs. Baylock's like, oh, Damien's grown very fond of him. We found him on the grounds. And Robert's like, you can't just bring a dog. If we want a dog, we'll go get a dog. You can't just bring a, and it's gigantic. Like, it's not a puppy. You know, it's like, this is somebody's dog.
Yeah, Rottweiler is a big, powerful dog.
And he says, get it out of the house, have them come and pick it up, the ASPCA, RSPCA, whoever comes to pick up dogs, Humane Society, come and get them.
Sure.
And Mrs. Baylock says, of course he never does. That dog is just in Damien's room now.
No, that woman is not listening to anything anyone says.
The next day, Catherine and Damien go to the Windsor Safari Park, which is sort of a Joe Exotic type of.
Oh, sure.
It's the middle of nowhere outside London, but we have giraffes and baboons, and they all hate Damien. So they either run away from him, or when they're kind of driving through the park through this, like, baboon exhibit, the baboons go nuts, and they rush the car. And Catherine is screaming, and, like, I was like, oh, my God. But it's like, well, you're in a car, and it's bigger than the baboons. Like, just keep driving.
Yeah, like, and also, like, it would be, like, hard for me, like, when in a car with a child and seeing baboons at a zoo going nuts to be like, clearly this is my child upsetting these
wild.
Like, it wouldn't be your first, you'd be like, oh, something is wrong. Maybe the weather is going nuts. Like, you wouldn't be like, ugh, my 5-year-old's upsetting all of these monkeys.
And so, but then after this experience, you know, she and Robert were getting ready for bed that night. And she says, I think I need to see a psychiatrist. And he's like, is there something wrong? Like, you could tell me, like, I love you. And she said, I have such fears. If I told you what they were, you'd put me away. Robert still has not revealed Damien is not their son.
Oh, my God.
To me, this is, I understand your spouse is going to be angry because you lied to her for 5 years and you tricked her and that's not your kid. But you got to bring it up. If your partner is now filled with a fear that she is unable to tell you.
It's time to air some secrets. It's time.
Yeah. So the next day, Robert and some coworkers go to a rugby match, which is being photographed by the very intrepid freelance photographer, Keith Jennings.
Is he the only photographer in the United Kingdom?
They really make it look like it. But, you know, good for him. He's got his hustle.
Yeah,
like,
he is out there.
Yeah, he doesn't have a family, like doesn't have a spouse or kids or seemingly any friends. So I guess
career
he has
driven.
Photography, yeah. And so while Robert's there, he's accosted again by Father Brennan. And Father Brennan says, meet me in the park. Your wife is in danger. And then he walks away, which is a very horror movie thing. If somebody said that to me, I'd be like, well, then what the hell are you talking about? Like, I'm
like,
shaking
what park?
Them.
What time? What?
Like, well, I think, I don't know what the park, but he tells them whatever park at like 2 p.m. the next day. I was like, what do you mean? If somebody says to you, your spouse is in danger, I'd be like, well, then you're telling me right now.
I'm telling you right now. That seems like urgent information, not like, well, let's plan a hang, you know?
Yeah. So, Keith Jennings takes another photo of Father Brennan, and when he develops it, the shadowy sort of like slash across the photo is even closer to the priest. So he's like, okay. Well, that seems odd. So now Keith Jennings is sort of picking up on there's something maybe potentially supernatural happening.
Yeah.
Robert goes to meet Father Brennan, and Father Brennan he's a mess. So I think he's not explaining himself very well. He tells Robert when they meet in the park.
When the Jews return to Zion, and a comet rips the sky, and the Holy Roman Empire rises, then you and I must die. From the eternal sea, he rises, creating armies on either shore, turning man against his brother, till man exists no more.
Which alludes to, I don't know if you're familiar with the Book of Revelations in the Bible.
I'm not familiar with any part of the Bible, including the part that Jews read, so.
Well, it's basically the Book of Revelation is sort of like a bunch of apocalyptic predictions about the rise of Satan and the end of the world.
It seems like the most interesting one.
Yes, book. And I think a lot of people have tried to unpack it. You know, again, it's all a metaphor written by humans, so, you know, there's only so much they could draw. But but eventually, like, God and Satan will have to duke it out. You know, the forces of good and evil are going to have this big apocalyptic war. Right. So you better sort yourself out is sort of the message of it. Yeah. But, you know, Robert's always like, uh-huh. And Father Brennan tells him, I need to be forgiven for the role I played.
That is upsetting information to receive.
Yes. I was there the night that your son was born, and I was a part of this, and it's partly my fault. So he tells Robert to go to the town of Megiddo, outside Jerusalem, in the old city of Jezreel, and he will meet an old man named Bugenhagen. And only he could tell you how the child must die.
Oh, God. Must die?
Yes, must die. And Robert says, okay, but like, also you said my wife was going to die? And Father Brennan says, okay, so your wife is pregnant, which he said that's not possible because they had such a hard time conceiving the first time. So he's like, considering what we just went through, there's no way she just got pregnant.
Right.
Like, I didn't know it. But to be fair, that does happen to people. Like, they'll adopt and then later be able to conceive. So, you know, look, I'm not a doctor. But that's the least shocking thing he's just heard, you know, of all the information he's getting.
That's what you're hung up on, a pregnancy? Like, there's so much more going on.
Father Brennan then lays this on him. And basically, the reason that Father Brennan's telling him is like, I need to be forgiven because of what I've done, I'm going to go to hell if I don't rectify what's happening.
Wow.
So Father Brennan said, your wife is pregnant. Damien will not let the other child be born.
Oh.
He will eventually kill your wife, and he will eventually kill you, but after using your wealth and success to further his rise in the world. And Robert said, I never want to see you again. And Father Brennan replies, I'll see you in hell, Mr. Thorne.
Oh, see you in hell. That is a fun phrase to get to say and feel like you mean it.
Yeah. So, you know, Robert storms off. Literally, a gigantic storm whips through.
Perfect.
Father Brennan runs to a churchyard to escape it. It's like a windstorm. And in the storm, a gigantic metal pole shears off the top of the church and impales Father Brennan, killing him.
Wow, how symbolic to, like, die literally by the church.
Exactly. And we also realize that the way the pole is sort of, like, slicing him that's what the image that Keith Jennings captured. Like his
his
photographs were an omen of Father Brennan's potential death.
Okay. Yes. Now we're getting
somewhere. Also, I don't know what time period this takes over. Like, this is either a matter of days or a matter of weeks. And every day something insane is happening to these people.
Yeah, right. It's like, there's a point where you have to be like, this is all of this. Like, it's one thing after another. It's not like, oh, remember last year there was that weird guy, and now this year there's another. It's like, no, every day is a nightmare. You have to start acknowledging reality.
So Robin goes home, and Catherine says, so I guess she has started seeing a therapist, a psychiatrist.
Great.
And she said, you know, I'm having a really hard time, and I just found out I'm pregnant today, and I do not want to have the child, and I don't want to have any more kids. And Robert says, no, you cannot get an abortion. And so eventually he meets with Catherine's doctor, which is a very 1970s thing, to be like, well, I'll talk to your psychiatrist about whether or not you can have an abortion, okay?
Yeah, yeah. It's important when your husband goes and talks to your own doctors.
Yeah. So he goes in, and the doctor says to him, like, Catherine's really having a really hard time. She has a lot of fantasies that her child is alien and evil, that it's not hers, talking about the actual pregnancy. But her, the fears
not
that she has, but the fears she has about the pregnancy are the fears she should have about Damien.
Right.
You know, but she doesn't know. She doesn't know he's not her son. So she's sort of, she feels like carrying this child is, basically the psychiatrist is like, if she is forced to carry this to term, it's going to be catastrophic for her mental health. Mm-hmm. And also, she does not want to. And Robert says, no.
Oh my God.
He said, it was foretold that this pregnancy would be terminated. I'm going to fight to see that it's not.
So he's a Republican when
also
he runs for president.
What is the psychiatrist going to do with that? Where it's like, oh, it was foretold?
Right. That's not science or medicine. That's nothing.
To be fair, we are also supposed to believe that it is Damien's influence on Catherine that is making her want to have an abortion. It's a very complicated thing to bring up in a movie, you know.
Yeah.
But I think that's what we're saying is like, if Damien was not in the picture, Catherine would not feel this way.
Right. Okay.
But the question of whether or not she will get an abortion is, of course, going to become quickly moot, Allison.
Yeah. Mm.
Because Robert's sort of speeding home from this meeting, Damien is riding his tricycle around the house while his mother is watering some hanging plants while standing on a bench next to the second floor balcony. I could imagine a more dangerous way to water plants.
Like, even if there was no child there.
Yes.
To potentially knock
you
off.
Oh, yeah. You could slip. The bench could wobble.
I feel like if I get on a step stool, I text somebody before I do it just to be like, heads up, I'm getting on a stool.
Right. And this is obviously, Damien is, you know, a malevolent force in the home. But yeah, this could have happened regardless. So he hits her bench that she's standing on. She flips over the balcony and smashes onto the ground.
Oh my God.
And killing a fishbowl full of fish that also smashes with her.
Of course.
And she's rushed to the hospital and she has miscarried.
Shocking. That's like double falling down the stairs.
Awful. And so when they arrive, Robert rushes in to see her, and Catherine, who's like barely conscious, says to him, "Don't let him kill me." Referring to Damien. So Allison, we've arrived at this part of the movie. What would you do?
What would you do?
This is when, like, you have to disclose the information that this is not her biological child, neither of your biological child. I would put Damien in the care of medical professionals while my wife, like, recovers.
Right.
Like, be like, why don't we get him looked at and her healthy again? And then also, I don't know. You know, I always just want to get a gun and kill myself.
Right, yeah, I hear what you're saying. And this is maybe a movie in which things are sort of out of your hands. So I understand that.
I would say like it's time to like, also like it's not like anyone's like, I love this boy. Like she's afraid of him. Like there's no like difficult, how do we, it's like actually you need to like take him away.
Yeah. And at a certain point, I think Robert's just sort of like, I need to figure out where he's from in order to understand exactly what we're dealing with.
Yes.
So Robert goes home from the hospital, and he finds that damn Rottweiler in the house.
Of course.
He goes to talk to Mrs. Baylock again, and it's like, mistake number two, do not let a strange dog just live in your son's room and be like, ugh, I've already got stuff to deal with. I can't take it. So finally, he gets a call from Keith Jennings, our photographer, and Keith says, hey, I've been noticing some wackety-dackety things in these photographs I've been taking. Can we meet up? So Robert goes over to Keith's studio, and he sees the image on Father Brennan. And it turns out Keith has done some snooping. He's not simply a photographer. He's also like a investigator. And that Father Brennan, the reason he was trying to right the wrong he had done with Robert is that he was dying of cancer. So he knew he was dying, but he was trying to, you know, apologize and rectify the wrong. And apparently,
off an evil child to an unknowing family.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And so, but when they did an autopsy, apparently Father Brennan had the number 666 on his thigh. But Allison, it was not a tattoo. It was a birthmark, which seemed bad.
Oh.
And so okay. They go to Father Brennan's apartment to sort of like check out more stuff. And they walk in, and every inch of the walls is covered in Bible pages and crucifixes. Like, he's clearly trying to keep something out, you know? Mm-hmm. And, you know, he's got all these clippings about Robert's life. He has, like, a diary of Robert's, like, day-to-day, because obviously he was trying to meet with him. And we also find a clipping about a comet that appeared in the sky the day Damien and Robert and Catherine's son had been born. So June 6th, 6th day, mm-hmm. and 6 yep. a.m., And Robert says, okay, this is my problem. I don't want to drag you into this. I'm going to have to figure out who Damien's parents were. And Keith says, well, it's a little too late because I took a self-portrait of myself and I want you to show it to you. So now Keith Jennings shows Robert a photo of Keith Jennings where he also has like a dark slash coming towards his neck. So we know that this is an omen of his death. So Keith Jennings is like, I'm actually very invested in figuring this out because based on this photograph, I'm going to die and it's going to be bad.
Yeah, yeah. I would want to get to the bottom of that real fast.
Right. So Robert and Keith decide we're going to go to Italy and try to find the anyone who was at the hospital. So find Father Spoleto or the nun or somebody who was at the hospital where Catherine gave birth and where they adopted mm-hmm. the baby from to try to find who was Damien's father or mother. However, Damien's just there with Mrs. Baylock, and so he rushes home, and he's like, I think he's going to try to fire Mrs. Baylock, but the rest of the house staff have left suddenly. So she's the only one there who can watch them. And he's like, all right, well, I guess you two are kind of in cahoots, and I'll leave you here while I go to Italy.
Because I'll leave my evil child with this evil woman.
Yeah, and you feel good for Catherine that she's out of the house at the hospital. That's probably the safest place that she could be.
It does feel safer.
Yeah, so they go to Rome. Turns out that the hospital Catherine gave birth in burned to the ground, of course. Horrible fire. It burned up the records. It burned up the maternity ward. There's no evidence of anything left. People died. It was horrible. But Father Spoleto, who was the chaplain at the time, he survived. He was badly burned on one side of his body, but he survived and he was sent to a monastery, you know, outside in some tiny Italian town. So they said, to this tiny monastery. So they go there. And while they're doing it, they're trying to, like, noodle out what Father Brennan said about, like, the comet in the sky and the eternal sea. And this is where I'm like, okay, we get it. Like, you don't, right. What we're saying is that this kid is the Antichrist. We don't have to look at this poem and be like, here's what this means. It doesn't matter what it means at a certain point.
Yeah.
But they said, okay, the Jews have returned to Zion. That's the formation of Israel.
Right.
There was a comet on the day that Damien was born. The Holy Roman Empire could refer to the European Common Market, which was established in 1957, which is essentially the thing that became the European Union. But I was like, that seems like a stretch. And then as soon as I thought that, Robert says, it's a bit of a stretch. So I appreciated that.
You're one step ahead.
And then, to me, the even bigger stretch is, they said, oh, the eternal sea, you know, scholars say the eternal sea refers to politics and, like, the eternal sea of, like, struggle and war. It's like, okay. Or it's just a metaphor. It doesn't matter.
Right.
This is not helping us fight on anything.
Yeah, this is just an exercise in, like, being a college student who's like, do you think it means? Like, right. It's like, no, let's just, like, actually, like, solve the real problem at hand.
So they arrive at the monastery and they meet with the monk who's like the head of the monastery. And he said, you know, Father Spoleto doesn't talk anymore and he very rarely will write. But he did tell me that he had fallen from grace and he had turned his back on Christ. So presumably referring to his involvement with placing Damien in Robert and Catherine's family. Mm-hmm. And so they finally talk to Father Spoleto and he writes a word, which this is why I could never solve a mystery in a horror movie is I couldn't make out a damn letter in this, what he wrote. And then they go, oh, Servette, that's an old Etruscan cemetery 50 kilometers north of Rome. It's like, well, they got what? That guy was there.
Yeah, seriously.
And so they take off to the cemetery, which is like abandoned ancient cemetery. It's not like near anything. It has been left to dust. And they find a grave with the name Maria Sciana on it. And her death date is July 6, 5 years ago.
Okay.
So they think, okay, this is his mother. And next to it is a grave for Bambino Sciana. So there's a baby's grave.
Are we to assume that that, though, is their biological child?
That's what Robert's thinking.
Okay.
He's like, is my son buried here with her? So they open the mother's tomb first, and right. Allison, they don't find a human skeleton. What do you think they find?
I mean, it's got to be a jackal.
It's the skeleton of a jackal.
Skeleton of a jackal. No. Oh.
Right. Which, if you thought Robert was upset before, he is extremely upset.
Could you imagine?
No. Allison. I simply cannot imagine a scenario in which I couldn't handle it.
I think I would pass out.
Right, like, yeah. I would just get into the grave and close it back up.
I'd be like, it's now mine. I'm dead now.
Well, we're already here. There's two graves. We'll just get in. But now Robert is like, wait a minute. If the other grave is an animal, maybe it's not my son. Maybe my son is alive somewhere and they just sent him to live with some other family. Robert, I don't know why you think anything good would happen, but
yeah,
they open up the baby's grave and they find his son's skeleton. But while the priest had told him that he had just died, you know, he was stillborn, he had died of natural causes, you could see that the baby's head has been bashed in.
Oh.
So they killed their son in order to put Damien into this family.
The hospital killed.
Yes. Priests, the nuns and priests, including Father Spoleto and Father Brennan. And
killed a baby.
Killed a baby to place what we now understand to be potentially the son of Satan in this family to be raised in this, like, in wealth and success. Yeah.
They could have just switched them.
Yes, Allison, they could have. Also, and this comes up in a lot of movies, why would you follow the devil and do all this terrible stuff?
No.
Especially if you're a priest or a nun, but anybody. Yeah, why? It's like, you will go to hell if you're a priest and you kill a baby to put the son of Satan into a family. Man, I don't know what you think's going to happen.
Yeah, you're doing literally the devil's work.
Yeah.
You work for the devil now.
And so it's like, you know, both Father Spoleto and Father Brennan apparently are like really apologetic. It's like, well, I don't know how you rationalized it before, but this is on you. You can't undo this.
No, this is their problem.
So, of course, Keith and Robert are immediately attacked by dogs. And it's a horrible scene where they're being chased by all these dogs in the cemetery. Robert tries to get over the fence and his arm gets impaled. So Keith has to sort of like drag him out. And they barely get away. And so Robert calls Catherine and says, you have to get out of the hospital and come to Rome. Like, he's like, now, okay, so if Damien is evil, then he can kill her. I don't know how this works, but like, we have to be together, get out of London. She's literally in a cast. And she's like, okay, I'll get myself together.
All right.
So his plan is have Catherine come meet him there. Catherine is taking off her nightgown when somebody walks into the room. She turns around. It's Mrs. Baylock.
No.
Cut to the outside of the hospital, and Catherine is thrown through the window, plummets five stories.
This woman has fallen so much.
And smashes through the top of an ambulance, dying.
Yeah.
Catherine, who has done nothing wrong, and in the logic of horror movies, should not be punished in the way she has.
It is true. She's been an innocent person in all of this.
Yeah, so that's a feature wrap on Catherine.
All right, well.
And Allison, at this point, who are you anticipating will survive until the end of the film?
Who will survive?
Damien? No, Damien has to die for me to be comfortable.
Okay, Damien, Robert?
Robert, I think Robert will survive.
Okay.
And he'll have to kind of like live with this nightmare for the rest of his life.
And how do you feel about Mrs. Baylock? Is she getting out of here?
She's got to die. She's like so complicit in all of this that I feel like, of course, she's going to die.
And then, of course, Keith Jennings, who also has done nothing but been helpful and really try to like figure this out.
I think that he will escape death somehow, even though he's supposed to die because of like the photographs and stuff.
Love it.
Summer, the best time of year, usually doesn't come with a great deal. Soaring temperatures come with soaring prices. But what if there's another way? With IKEA, your summer plans can last longer than 2 weeks of vacation and be more affordable. Here, everyone can have lounge chair access, no reservations needed. From affordable outdoor furniture to stylish accessories, we have all the essentials you need to soak up summer in style, no matter the size of your space. Start planning a better summer with IKEA. It's your outdoor dreams inside your budget.
Emmy Award-winning John Mulaney presents Everybody's in L.A., a special run of 6 live episodes created by and starring Mulaney that'll stream live on Netflix during the Netflix is a Joke Fest. The comically unconventional show will feature special guests where John Mulaney explores the city of Los Angeles during a week when every funny person is in it. Watch John Mulaney Presents Everybody's in L.A., debuting May 3rd live at 7 p.m. Pacific Time, only on Netflix.
Want to make mom's day? Get to your Nordstrom Rack now and score amazing deals for Mother's Day, which is Sunday, May 12th. Find tons of gifts from only $30 at Nordstrom Rack. Fragrance, jewelry, luxury bags, activewear, beauty, and more. Save on Kate Spade New York, Stuart Weitzman, and Ted Baker London. Great brands, great prices. So shop your Nordstrom Rack store today and treat mom to the good stuff from just $30.
When your space has the long-lasting, noticeable scent of Airwick Vibrant Scented Oils, it'll be the spot for everyone. From book club to game night, the kids can even host their friends.
Whoa, it smells amazing.
Airwick Vibrant Scented Oils are infused with 2 times more natural essential oils versus regular Airwick Scented Oils for our most authentic, nature-inspired fragrance experience. Transform your space with scents like white sage and mahogany or lavender and water lily. Now that's a breath of fresh air, Wick.
All right, so Robert immediately gets a call back from the hospital being like, oh yeah, remember your wife you talked to 5 minutes ago? She's dead. And he tells Keith, we're going to Megiddo outside Jerusalem. We're going to the old city of Jezreel, and we're going to meet with Bugenhagen. And he's going to tell me what I have to do.
Okay.
And Robert has a great line. He says, Kathy's dead. I want Damien to die too.
Great.
So they show up at this architectural site, and Bugenhagen, Carl Bugenhagen, apparently is an exorcist who used to be a priest. And he's like, okay, I got some bad news. Damien is probably the Antichrist. Mm-hmm. And you could check to see if he has a 666 tattoo under his hair. And if he does, you will have to kill him using these 7 holy knives in a particular order. And it has to be you, and it has to be on the hallowed ground of a church. And also, Mrs. Baylock, she will die before she lets this happen, so you're going to have to deal with her too.
That's so many hoops to jump through.
And Robert's like, well, I can tell you he doesn't have a birthmark. Like, I bathed him as a baby. I've seen, like, every inch of his body. I've never seen it. And Bugenhagen says, well, look under his hair. But I've seen baby's hair. It's not like it's not like a human. I mean, it's not like adult hair. Where
he doesn't
see
have like
scale.
A wig on. Like,
right. Like, and he does have a lot of hair, but again, it's hair, a lot of hair for a baby, you know?
Right. Yeah.
So that's the only part where I was like, okay, he would have seen a 666 on his infant son's scalp. But, you know, and obviously Robert's very terrified, but Bugenhagen reassures him.
This is not a human child. Make no mistake.
But now Robert essentially has to go back and kill his son, who he has raised.
Yeah.
But also that he now knows almost undoubtedly is the son of the Antichrist. Yeah. And then, Allison, you sort of guessed that there would be a twist of some sort. Do you want to guess the twist again or try to anticipate what we think is going to happen towards the end of the movie?
I, like, genuinely have no idea where it's going now. Like, I mean, I know the general trajectory we're on, but, like, I mean, I got to say Damien's going to fight back in some way, or maybe the devil or the Antichrist shows up himself. Yeah, those are my guesses.
So as soon as they leave Bugenhagen, Robert's like, I cannot do this. I cannot kill a child, let alone my son I've raised since birth. And he takes the 7 holy knives and he kind of throws it into a construction site. And Keith Jennings is like, well, if you won't do it, I'll do it. I don't have any investment in this kid. And Keith Jennings runs over to the construction site. And just as he picks up the 7 holy knives, a construction truck kind of slides backwards, or I don't know, it's some devil magic, flies backwards, and a sheet of glass slides off the back of this truck and slices Keith Jennings' head completely off.
What? Oh, I really wanted Keith to live. He had such a commitment to his career he needed to follow through on.
R.I.P. Keith. I mean, like, he will be remembered. He took every photograph in London for the past 5 years, so, like, he'll be remembered fondly.
What is London going to do without their only photographer?
How are they going to see children's birthday parties or rugby games? I don't know. So cut to Robert is now on the plane with 7 knives. And he's like, all right, I guess I got to do this.
I guess I got to kill this kid.
And that's a pre-9/11 plane ride for sure, when someone's allowed to have to take 7 knives and hold them in their lap.
Yeah, totally. He also had a bottle of water, and he never took his shoes off, I'm sure.
So Robert shows up at home. It's night. And he's able to trap the Rottweiler, who is still there, in the basement. And he creeps up to Damien's room, and then he snatches him up. And Mrs. Baylock jumps out of the shadows and starts wrestling with Robert. But Robert eventually stabs her to death. So Mrs. Baylock, she was committed, but at the end of the day, she was just some lady. She didn't have demon powers.
Interesting.
And so he's able to drag Damien out of the house, and he throws him in the car. And Damien's, like, very cute, but he's also, like, screaming like a demon. Right. And so Robert is speeding to a church to be on hallowed ground when he kills Damien. But he's speeding so fast that a bunch of cops notice and start following him, like, trying to get him to pull over. Right. They don't know about any of this is going on.
No, yeah, they have no idea.
But he's speeding to the church, and when he checks Damien's hair, under his hair, he has the birthmark.
Of course.
So if there was any doubt in his mind, it's gone. Right. He has to kill this kid.
Yeah.
So he's able to get Damien into the church, and he has him in front of the altar, and he takes out the first knife that he has to stab him with in a specific order. And Damien says, "Please, Daddy, no," because he has a British accent because he was raised in Britain.
Of course.
And Robert hesitates just long enough for the cops to come there and shoot him and killing him.
What?
A little while later, we look on as Robert and Catherine are put into the ground at their funerals. And it's like a military funeral because I guess he's a government official and so they get taps and everything. And Damien is there and he is standing with the President of the United States and his wife. And he's holding the wife's hand. And I suppose the implication is that Damien is going to be raised by the President and his wife. And Damien then turns around and looks to camera and smiles. And then Allison, if you've ever considered this before, you know how I love a movie that starts with a quote?
Love that. I mean, you do. I hate it.
This movie ends with a quote.
Whoa.
Here is the wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, and his number of 666, which seems unnecessary. Like, we get it. He is the devil's son.
There's also, no new info to that quote. Like, I would like something alludes to, the rest of time or, Damien's future or, what happened.
Other quote from Revelations about, what's the devil's plan once he gets there?
Right. That's the thing. It's, we just know that this, evil kid is, this jackal child is, running around and now he's with the leader of the free world. And it's, okay.
I think it also, the ending of the movie also implies to me, a very different understanding of the American presidency. Where, the president's, I guess, JFK or something, where you think he's, a warm family man, where it's, I wouldn't let Donald Trump look after a dog. I certainly wouldn't let him raise a child.
No.
Let alone the devil's child.
It's, how does he end up with them? it's just, in my mind, I was, that's not in the Constitution that a diplomat's child goes to the president. But then I was, well, of course not. That's not anything.
I mean, I don't think so. Well, there's a suggestion earlier where it turns out that Robert went to college with the president. So they are friends.
Oh, so they are friends. Okay.
But it's not it's my brother or my cousin or my uncle or somebody where it's it's a family member. That seems an easy way to write it. But it's he's your friend from college, ergo the president of the United States can adopt your 5-year-old child.
I would not leave a child of mine to any of my friends from college.
I mean, they're wonderful people. I'd probably warn them about it beforehand. I'd tell them, you're going to be put in the will.
Yeah.
But Allison, can you name a couple mistakes, fatal mistakes that were in this episode?
Fatal mistakes.
And I wanted to fold it into a segment I'm going to call Raising the Antichrist Checklist.
Oh, sure.
Which is just sort of lessons about if you're raising the Antichrist, things you should or should not do. Because my first one is never stand on a bench near a railing to water your macrame hanging plants.
Yeah. Also, they had a huge housekeeping staff. Have someone else do that.
Yeah. I guess we're to think, if it wasn't that, it would be something else. So she would stand near a window. Something would happen where he would take advantage of her.
Yeah. I mean, aside from the very obvious of don't accept the child, and if you do accept that child, be completely transparent and forthcoming with your wife about whose child this is.
call the agency and double check that they sent you a new governess.
That, yeah, huge check mark next to that. That's something you absolutely should do. I'll also say, seek clarity when a member of the clergy tells you something terrifying.
Yes, great. Yeah, if a terrified, babbling priest comes to your office, don't just kick him out. If he says, I was there the night that your son was born.
Yeah, I'd be like, I'm going to need you to, really give me some details, speak clearly, slowly. Let me really digest what's happening here.
And then finally, Allison, I think it's time to rate this movie on a spooky scale.
A spooky scale.
Which is, of course, from 1 to 10 screams and indicates only how spooky we found the movie, not whether the movie was great or not. I really enjoy The Omen, having seen it before. Super
this is
fun.
Not quality. This is just pure scariness.
Yes.
I'm going to give this an 8.
An 8. Okay, great.
I find Evil Child always scary. I find religion very scary. And, the ending is one that's, there's no resolution.
Right. The devil won.
Yeah, the devil won. Great.
You're right. And we rarely, I guess we feel like we've been doing a lot of movies recently where, the right thing does happen at the end. Horrible things happen, but in the end, either the protagonist survives or justice is meted out. This is, no, the devil won. The devil killed a bunch of people and does not care. And now,
there's none of the comforts of, it's all okay now. So that always is very upsetting.
And now Damien's going to be Trump Jr. or whatever, or Donald Jr. or Eric. He's going to run at some point.
Yeah. Oh, God.
Boy, I'm going to give this, I think because I really enjoyed it. It's sort of like Rosemary's Baby, where it's something's wrong the whole time, so you're just watching them figure it out.
Yeah.
Which I don't find as scary. So I'm going to say a 6, because I do like the idea of the devil as a villain. But, again, they probably could have kicked that kid's ass if they had to.
Yeah.
Or locked him in a closet or
something.
Something. Yeah.
Something.
Well, guys, thank you so much for joining us.
Yeah. If you want more Ruined, follow us on Instagram and Twitter at Ruined Podcast and subscribe to the podcast, rate, review, tell your friends.
And until then, please keep it spooky.
Keep it spooky. Bye.
Bye. Ruined is a Radio Point production with executive producers Alex Bach, Sabrina Fonfetter, and Houston Snyder, recorded and edited by Kat Iosa.
Wayfair's biggest sale of the year is here. It's Way Day. Right now, you can score up to 80% off at Wayfair. Save on sofas and cookware, dining sets and rugs and beds, wall art, bar cards, floor lamps, ceiling fans, home decor, all things outdoor, and way more. All up to 80% off right now. Plus, everything ships free. And flash deals are launching all Way Day long. Don't miss Wayfair's biggest sale of the year. Shop Way Day right now from May 6th at Wayfair.com.
Wayfair, every style, every home.